At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This
bound, every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Meeting is being recorded.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Keeping It Real on Purpose. I am your host, Edna White, and this podcast helps us come together with real people who talk about real issues and struggles in their life, their relationship, and their business, all on purpose. And today our guest is none other than our author, and founder and CEO of Single Parents, which is a nonprofit 501c3. And her name is, I'm not going to get it wrong now, audience, Cindy Whitman, right?
That's right.
Yay. Cindy Whitman. Yay, I got it right. Okay, welcome to Keeping It Real on Purpose.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so how do you show up in the world, Cindy?
Well, my number one passion is giving back. I really love to help other single parents. I'm a former single parent myself. And so one of my main missions is to help other single parents succeed.
Okay. And how do you help them succeed?
Well, I started a nonprofit. I'm the founder and CEO of Driving Single Parents, as you had mentioned. We give away quality used vehicles to single parents in need.
Oh, nice, nice. And where are you from? What area?
I live in San Antonio, Texas.
San Antonio, Texas. Okay. So in this organization, how have you seen it to be productive, or how have you seen the processes kind of changed along the way?
Well, it's been really interesting. I started 6 years ago, and I've really seen these single parents grow to new mounts in their lives. So when we give someone a single parent a vehicle, it's always someone who is deserving, who isn't just trying to get back and forth to work or get their kids to and from school. They're trying to help in the community or trying to get themselves to college, trying to get that better job across town. So far we've given away 11 and we're about to give away our 12th car, hopefully this month. And I've seen these single parents go from really struggling and not being able to get up in life, get anywhere, to really starting new jobs that are higher paying. I've seen them enroll their children in extracurricular activities. They've gone on to become homeowners themselves. One of them even got married. We had one graduate with a degree. We had several graduate with degrees and currently have several who are actively enrolled in college.
Okay.
So it just really changed their lives for the better.
Yeah. And we talk about a lot of that when we talk about, having the fullness of life, having everything that you need in life, right? We talk about that. And I work a lot in housing, and I tell them a house does not complete, that fullness in life. You need a job, you need, mental health, you need a whole gamut of things. And I think it's not just the object that you provide, right? It's more than that.
Absolutely.
That's great. So when did you, you said you started this business 6 years ago?
Yes, in 2017.
All right. And it was stationed always in Texas?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about your authorship now and your book that you have written. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. It's called Shattering the Stigma of Single Motherhood. I came across another author who invited me on to this project, and it really is just about uplifting single parents and inspiring stories as to how, even though you might be on, having the worst day of your life, it's going to get better. Mm-hmm. And, I myself was a single mom. I'm foremost single mom now. I was in a domestic violence relationship, and I really felt like I was kind of at the end of my rope. It was very difficult to work two jobs and get myself through college and then also be able to start my nonprofit and give back. But it's just really a 12 stories of women who have overcome the odds and come from, living their worst day and these relationships mm-hmm. ending to really becoming productive members of society and giving back and becoming business owners and just really just showing other single parents that you can do it. You can do it. All you have to do is just work really hard and just have faith.
That's right. Yeah. We did it and you can do it, which is great.
That's
The human humanism of everyone wants to see that you got results.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So share with us a part of your book that you really, that you really enjoyed writing.
I really enjoyed telling my personal story, which was, like I said, I was a victim of domestic violence, and I was sitting on the couch one day folding laundry as a homemaker. And I was watching Dr. Phil, like, what else do you do, right? And Dr. Phil came on.
Right.
Yeah, Dr. Phil came on and said, it's better to come from a broken home than it is to grow up in one. And when I heard those words, it was like he was speaking directly to me. And so I got up, I got a basket of clothes, a bag of diapers, I got my daughters, and we left, and we never went back. And so I got to share that story in the book, and then also to go on to say that many years later, I went on to try to figure out what I could do to get back once I was in a better situation. And I initially wanted to do childcare because as a single mom, that was my biggest struggle, was childcare for my children. I work in two jobs and put myself through college. You really need that support system. You really need that childcare. But when I ran the poll to start the nonprofit for childcare, I realized that nobody really wanted to get behind that. Nobody really wanted to donate to that type of organization because they really feel like government assistance is there and government assistance handles that already, which is not true. But needless to say, I really couldn't get the backing I needed. And so I remember kind of being frustrated and thinking, well, if I can't, you know, do childcare, what was my second need? And I remember I was at dinner with my then fiance, and we were just sitting there talking, and all of a sudden it just all came together at once. I just stood up at the table and said, that's it. It was my car.
Yeah.
I'm going to give away cars. And my fiance was like, sit down. You're not giving away anything. He's a lawyer, and he could immediately see like all the, you know,
issues involved in it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Exactly. And so I said, okay. And I went home that night. I woke up early in the morning before anybody else and built the website and started my nonprofit that day. So I got to share those stories in the book, and just, you know, that was the neat part for me.
Mm. And what one of your clients really, I guess, changed your life, you know, what made a great impact when you delivered that car?
I'm sorry, can you rephrase the question?
What client or what participant really changed your life, like when you delivered the car to them, you know, and you saw a big change in them?
I would say all of them, but one that really sticks out is the first vehicle I gave away, and that went to John Cano. He was hit by a drunk driver, and in that accident, he lost his wife, his leg, and his car, which made him a single father of three. And so seeing him over the last 6 years, you know, he still has the car and work and, and do well and taking his kids. You know, I get the picture that says, look, Cindy, I'm at my kids' band meet, or look, Cindy, I'm at HEB for the first time in my own car, or, you know, look, Cindy, I was able to attend this out of town family gathering that I wouldn't have otherwise been able to do. So with all of the recipients, they've all shared those moments with me, and just knowing that, you know, this idea that I had one day at a restaurant has really come together to change all these lives has really been something that really sticks close to my heart.
Right, right. What are some of the things in your life as you go through, you know, whether it be the nonprofit organization or being an author, that definitely helped you to keep moving?
I would just say I have a drive inside of me that pushes me forward every day, and to do better and work harder and become a better person. I would probably say that my dad has really, you know, made a huge impact in my life. He's always been there for me, and just to encourage me that, you know, just because it's hard right now doesn't mean it's going to be hard forever, you know, and just because, right, you know, you're working two jobs and going to college right now, you're doing that to get to the end result, which is going to be retirement. And just really encouraged me. I would say that having him by my side has really been a big impact for me.
Right. And you know, the stigma of owning a car, it's like it's a child by itself. You know, like you have to pay for, you know, the expenses, you pay gas, parking, things like that. Was that ever one of the stigmas that was attached to owning this and kind of stopped any of your participants from being part of it?
I mean, yes, because one of the qualifications that we have is that you have to be able to obtain and maintain car insurance. And so it has been a challenge where we get applicants that unfortunately don't have a job, or they're on a fixed income, or, you know, they're not able to afford that car insurance. So unfortunately that disqualifies them, because one of my main things, we have a board of directors as well. And one of our big things is we don't want to give a single parent a burden. You know, this is supposed to be something to help them. And the last thing we want is to give a vehicle to someone who's going to have to live in it or sell it to get the money and be back in the same situation. So we're really careful with our applicants when we go through that screening process to make sure that it's going to be given to somebody who is already working and does have the ability to obtain and maintain car insurance, and will be able to get themselves to oil changes and regular maintenance on the vehicle.
Right. Yeah. So that's totally people, important. You know, yeah. That's totally important. Totally important.
Definitely.
Oh, okay.
As I said before, it's not like you said about housing. It's not the fixer of all their issues. It's more of, it's just that one little thing they need to take them to the next level of success.
Yeah. It's like that spark that just says, boom, and it just, everything just goes off from there. Just like, you know, everything just kind of grows once from there. Has there ever been a time that you've had a challenge maybe, or something you thought that maybe you were going, it was going to turn out well, but it didn't?
Oh, geez, there are lots of things in my life.
I was about the car situation, working with the, you know, with the 501c3.
Well, the 501c3 was, well, when I had the idea, it was like, I'm going to give away cars. Well, you would think, you know, if you're a nice person and you're trying to do good and give back, that it's going to be easy. You're just going to give away cars. And something I failed to realize when I founded the organization was how much work goes into it, for one. And for two, all of the red tape. You know, there's so much red tape as far as obtaining that 501c3 from the IRS. There's so many challenges there. So I did, once I realized the full scope of what was going to need to take place to make sure that this nonprofit succeeded, mm-hmm. was a little bit overwhelming. But luckily, I was already surrounded with people who were, you know, they volunteered, or they were a sounding board, or they had already started a nonprofit on their own and kind of had some guidance there. I read a lot of books. So there were significant challenges in the beginning, to answer your question.
Usually around something that has to do with the IRS is always the challenge, you know. Yes. And I know working with a lot of business owners, they say the same exact thing. That 501c3 is like going to algebra class.
It really is. I felt like I needed two law degrees just to get through that thing.
Yeah. And does that change, you know, considering that you're working with cars? And does that change over time, like insurance? You know how it is, like insurance, there's new things that come out or new rules that come out. Does that change?
No, not really. But one change I have seen, significant change that's happened recently, is the car market. You know, back when I first started the nonprofit, I could buy a quality used vehicle for between, you know, $5,000 and $7,000. Over this past couple of years, because of several reasons, the car market has really skyrocketed. So that quality used vehicle I would get back then for that price now is running between $9,000 and $14,000. So it takes a lot more funding on our part to be able to provide those vehicles. That's been a big challenge. One of the things we did to shift in that situation was, normally what I do is we pick the recipient. And then we find a vehicle to tailor to their needs. So for instance, John Cano, knowing he's handicapped and, you know, had lost his leg, he was going to need to have an SUV so he could get his handicap equipment to and from where he needed to go, doctor's appointments, whatnot. All of the vehicles that we have given out so far, up until the one we're about to give away now, we've always found the recipient first and then put that vehicle to meet their needs. Because the car market has shifted significantly this time, I pivoted and said, you know what, let's go out and find a quality used vehicle that, you know, is affordable for us. And once we actually find one in this terrible car market right now, we will find a recipient that matches or meets with that vehicle. And it's been a huge challenge because we bought the vehicle and it's a Chevy Cruze. It's a small compact car. And now we're screening for the recipients, and a lot of the qualified recipients that I would normally choose to receive the vehicle have four kids. And so you can't fit four kids in the backseat of a three-seat compact car. And so unfortunately, because I did it this way this time, it's had to exclude a lot of recipients who would otherwise have received the vehicle.
Wow, that's good. How long does that process really take? You know, once you apply to be, you know, to get a car with your organization, to the time you get a car?
It's really depending on funding at the time. So as soon as we have enough funding to buy a vehicle, we open up the applications and we will start looking for our recipient. So it may be that, like I do news coverage quite often, and when I do that and ask for applicants, that's because we have enough funding to buy a vehicle or because we've already purchased the new vehicle. So it's relatively quickly is the answer to your question. We first thing we do is get the application, and then, which doesn't ask for a whole lot. It's just, are you a single parent? Do you have the ability to obtain and maintain car insurance? And do you have a valid Texas driver's license? It's pretty simple, And then once we get that and we verify that, yes, they meet those minimum criteria, we'll mm-hmm. send them back and say, hey, what we need you to do is you meet the minimum qualifications. And so do a video of yourself just explaining how a vehicle would really change your life and circumstances. So then they'll submit that video to us, and then we go through all the video applications, and then we'll choose our recipient from there. Once we choose the actual recipient, then we qualify them. So we vet them just to make sure they don't have, drunk driving in their history or vehicular manslaughter or a drug charge, to make sure that they are, you know, they haven't lied on their application and that they meet the qualifications, plus they don't have a criminal history that would impact the vehicle.
Wow, that's a really thorough job. And I can see why you said there's so much red tape involved and why your husband stood up and said, you are not giving away cars.
Yes, definitely. Because one of the last things we would want is somebody who received a vehicle from us to end up in a situation where they were involved in a drunk driving incident or transporting drugs or something like that. So we really try to do the work on the front end to make sure that we get a recipient that is not going to have those challenges in the future.
Wow, this is really great stuff. And this is, in what area?
This is in San Antonio, Texas currently. I do want to expand. So once we get, of course, the funding and the backing, and right now we're small and it's manageable. Once we get to be bigger, then we'll have to have more resources. And so now we're just here, but, you know, interested in partnering with other car dealerships.
Oh, that's a great idea. Like
yes, the last car we gave away was in October of this year, and we partner with Carvana, and Carvana was amazing. They donated the vehicle themselves. They Conexion is like their community leadership program they have within Carvana, and they actually paid for the vehicle, and so that was a great partnership with them. So if I were to partner with big corporations like that moving forward, then we would have the ability to expand.
Okay. So you have a lot going on in the horizon. So is there anything else that's going on that you want our audience to know and those that are reaching out from San Antonio possibly could partner with you?
Oh, yes. You can always email me at founder@drivingsingleparents.org. or visit our website at drivingsingleparents.org. And you can email us. And if you're interested in donating or getting involved, or maybe somebody in your audience needs a vehicle, then they can apply there on our website. We'd be happy to help.
Great. That's great stuff. Like that. Let's see. You've covered so much. I ran out of questions. This is a first for me. So I ran out of questions. Well, audience, if you do have questions, I will tell you, you can always go on and you can actually press that little button that says have a question, and we can directly send it out to our guest who will be able to answer it in real time. So don't be afraid. If you don't have a question right now, just like me, I don't have a question for Cindy because she's been very thorough. I just want to commend you on what you're doing. This is a really great service that shows up in the world to help other people and serve them. And you're a real great example of innovation, you know, how to be to minister innovatively. So you're not at a church. You're literally giving away an object that makes everyone's life really work if they need it to work. And that's beautiful. So tell us, what would you tell the audience in your last words of like what that could encourage them?
I would say definitely try to grab a copy of our Shattering the Stigma of Single Motherhood. If you haven't read it already, it's great. It's inspiring. And I think my piece of advice to any person who is a single parent or any person who is a person at all who goes through struggles to just keep your head high, make a plan, stick to it, and you can do anything you put your mind to. And you got to believe in yourself first.
Oh, yeah, you got to believe in yourself. Well, that puts us to the end of the show. We really appreciate you still for coming here today, Cindy, and we appreciate the audience because you guys could have been anywhere else. And you can look for me anywhere on social media at EJW Coaching. Thanks so much, and we'll see you the next time around. Bye for now.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I'm Martha Stewart, and I believe the best gifts are not only beautiful, but useful every single day. And Lennox has brought timeless beauty and lasting quality to our tables for generations. And their Lennox Spice Village is the perfect holiday gift for someone you love or for yourself. Spice Village transforms everyday spices into inspired memories filled with warmth and joy all year long. Give a gift that lasts beyond the holidays. Discover the collection at lennox.com/spicevillage.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.